Right, hello there, and welcome to another sparkling edition of the Wolves Fancast. We are recording this shortly after Wolves' game with Leicester, that's hot on the heels of our most welcome but somewhat unconvincing 2-1 win against Arsenal. With me tonight to dissect the game is Stu, Dan, and with his fresh lockdown cut, Luke. We are going to start, as ever, with our lineups for the game. Now, there was rumours of somewhat of an injury bloodbath to our team before the game, when we normally play our usual pre-match game of Guess the Formation, when the Wolves Twitter account put it up. But there were rumours abound that players totaling Patricio, Neto, Kilman, Pedence, Bolly were all going to be out. And obviously, Pedence declared his injury earlier on. And the rumblings before the game started that Bolly was going to be out. But Stu, when you first saw the team, what was your initial reactions? And were you obviously pleased about the inclusion of our stalwart Johnny in at left wing back?
And my first thought was not to say anything, so I don't get criticised again in the group chat. So, but yeah, as soon as I saw it, and it was a back five, and I thought, okay, fine. I was more comfortable with that lineup than I have been for weeks. I mean, attacking wise, that's probably, you'd say, one of our first choice attacking lineups at the minute. And with Johnny back, like you said, I didn't expect him to be as good as he was. I thought, well, he can't be any worse than Kilman or Aitnori and anyone else who's played there in the last 6 months. But it was going into a match with a nice feeling was just it was a nice change.
Dan, what did you reckon? What was the positives and all the negatives of the lineup that you saw?
Having Johnny back was just the most comforting news I think any one of us could have had. Really, I mean, apart from like sort of Raul coming back or something like that, I think the sort of moment that we're in as a club with the sort of fear and negativity, when you're losing so many players and having to revert back to what we know was the tried and trusted, then having Johnny back on top of all the players that we were saying was injured, I thought it was just, it was comforting going into the game that we didn't really have anything to lose. I thought as long as we could put a decent performance in, it didn't really matter if we lost today. I know points are important at the moment, but Leicester are top side going, I mean, they're outsiders for the title. They're probably going to fall way short in the end, but they're definitely in the race. So I just think going into the today with that lineup, I just thought, yeah, let's put in a good performance. If we get a result, good, we move on to Southampton.
Yeah.
Luke, how did you see it in a similar vein of the, well, first off, on the team itself, but then also were you looking more for just a good performance rather than basically shithousing any sort of result at all?
Yeah, the team was quite comforting, to be fair, because there'd been some rumours sort of just before the team was announced. Obviously, the day before as well, where some people from the media were putting out cryptic tweets saying that it's not good and really, really like trying to put a dampener on things. And then obviously the rumours started flying about WhatsApp that Bolly was missing, Patricio was possibly missing, Kilman was missing, Neto was missing. And you're thinking, oh my God, this is going to be a bloodbath. How is this team going to look? Then when it was announced, I thought it was perfectly fine. Very, very hard to pick a fault with the team today from what he's got available to him. And like Dan said, the performance today meant more than the result. Obviously, we need results. We need to pick up wins. But for me, as positive as the result was against Arsenal, the performance still left a lot of questions to be asked. So I was really interested to see how we got on today. And I can't really fault the performance. Can't really fault it. I think the plan was executed well today by Nuno.
So, I mean, we're looking at again, this has been a season blighted by injuries pretty much since the start. So now we're looking again at Bolly being out for 4 weeks. Pedence said he's out for 5 to 6. So we weigh that against Johnny coming back, who we now know it was preordained that he was only ever going to play 45 minutes. But Stu, Nuno has said that, and I took this quote from his pre-match because I thought it was interesting, he's stabilising the team. So does that mean that, do you think that he's kind of acknowledged that last few weeks, stroke months have been a bit, almost a bit too crazy for his liking, in the fact that he's now looking to just do like a hard reset and try and start again?
It's almost like he's found his solutions. And they were within all along.
Within all along.
Yeah, it's finally clicked after 2 months of being shit that we can't actually play a different way. And we should just play the way that we know all along. And it's just that he's, I've been saying it for ages. Not just me, other people as well, saying we haven't got the players to play with the back four and all this stuff. And for him to actually come out and say that, it's kind of reassuring because when we play like this today, and like when we played against Man United and Chelsea, and I said I after the Chelsea game, I was really encouraged by that because it's how we play and we play it well. So don't go messing it up trying to play with the back four and being more adventurous when we haven't trained like that and there has been no pre-season. So if we are going to play this for the rest of the season, then I'm more than encouraged than I would have been if he was still saying, oh, we need to find solutions for problems and all this stuff.
I mean, it seems like he has gone back to the tried and trusted, but Dan, do you think there's still a case for him switching between the back three, stroke five and four, depending on who we're playing? Or should now he should know to stick to what he knows from now on? It can be as simple as that.
Most definitely. I still think we should open ourselves up to go into a back four when needed. There's still teams, it's like anything in, you know, any sport really, stars make fights, different formations work against different teams. I don't think we should write a back four completely. I think it all just boils down to the summer recruitment and sort of the summer PR that the club put out in regards to transitioning. Did we really need to transition to a new formation? Should we have just not kept the tried and trusted but upgraded the players that were in that formation already? It's a difficult one, really. I don't think we should write off a back four, but if they're going to go to a back four, they need to heavily invest in the summer and fix the spine of the team that comes with that back four formation.
Yeah, I think that's what I was saying. There's, I ain't got a problem with playing four at the back, but we can't do it with this squad. No chance. Yeah.
So, Luke, would a back two of Cody and Kilman cause you to have nightmares at the moment?
Yeah, it would. that was the only concern, I suppose, pre-match when you're trying to work out how we're going to line up. Is it going to be 4-2-3-1, 3-5-2, 5-3-2, 4-3-3? Kilman and Cody as a back two. That is sort of mid-table championship centre-half pairing. So it would get absolutely destroyed in the Premier League.
I disagree.
I think Dan summed it up well. There is scope in having a four, and I think I mentioned it on a podcast a couple of months ago. When you're playing your teams like Man United, Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, whoever, the big six, whatever you want to call them, then yeah, maybe play a five. But you're playing Sheffield United at home, Fulham at home, even Southampton at home, teams like that, why not try a back four? Because I think it's proved that in a back four, whilst we do give more chances away, we also score more goals as well. Now, I'd be quite disappointed if we're playing teams like that, sort of trying to nick a 1-0. Because I just personally think that we're better than that. The players we've got at our disposal, you know, we can go at teams and be a bit more adventurous. And it'd be nice to see us be a bit more adventurous when the time is right. You know, there's no need for us to play a back five against, let's say, Sheffield United at home, for example. So, yeah, we can mix it up with a back four as well.
Well, then let's get into the game itself then. So, ultimately, it finished 0-0, but there was a couple of flashpoints, a couple of chances. I want to jump onto the two chances straight away. And the first really gilt-edged chance that fell to us was for Fabio Silva, getting on towards the last quarter of the game. Schmeichel did save it, but Stu, should he have had the chance to save that? Should he have gone for the old R2 FIFA dink over the keeper? Or Pez. I know your Pez. whatever the Pez equivalent is.
It's the same.
Is it the same?
It's R2 thing. There were years when R2 was run and it used to be L2, but that's... Do what you want.
You can configure it to what you want.
Yeah. Play your own game. I think it was just instinct. And I think it comes back to the same thing all the time, that he's a kid and he probably hasn't got the kind of the composure to do a little dink or put it the other side. And he's just gone for his best chance. And not many keepers would have put their leg out to that. It was a great save. I mean, yeah, it was a great save. But even so, if Jose was still on the pitch, it would have been 1-0.
But in this FIFA generation, why didn't he rainbow flick it over his head? Do several pickups on the line with a couple around the world and then Rabona in the top corner. Because also, you know, many men have done that on FIFA before. So why hasn't he done that in real life? That's what I want to know.
These are the questions. I did watch the replay of it back, and they did a slow-mo replay from facing back to the players. And you saw Neves' face light up when the ball went through because he thought, we're in. And then his face just crumbled when realised Schmeichel got a foot to it. But that was obviously our best chance. But Dan, did you think that it had all been for nothing in the 91st minute with Vardy in that header? Because I'll be honest, I thought that was Nestling.
I think we all thought the net had rippled, to be honest. I mean, I only had it on normal HD. I didn't have it on ultra, but it looked like it was into me. I just think as soon as that ball comes across the box and Vardy gets that first touch, you think, oh, here we go. But I think it would have been unbelievably harsh if we hadn't come away with at least a point today. I thought it was a really good save by Kasper Schmeichel. Proper Peter Schmeichel school of goalkeeping, butterfly. He didn't really have a lot of area. I know you're a lot of saying he should have dinked it, but I don't think there was a lot of room Schmeichel had left free for the dink.
His old starfish, hadn't he?
Yeah, chocolate starfish and the Schmeichel flavoured water.
There's the title.
So let's just talk about the game itself in general then, because I think let's cover everything, you know, all in one go, because I think we defended quite solidly throughout the game, albeit, Guy, I want you to talk to me about our wasted chances, because I felt that we had quite a few. What do you reckon, Luke? I mean, there was Neves, Traore, Moutinho. We had quite a few chances today, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can come away from the game feeling disappointed that we haven't won it. I don't think Leicester, Leicester fans can do that, even though, okay, a draw was probably fair. I think Neves is in the first half, off the corner, he's got to do better with that. There's a lot of goal to aim for. And Moutinho in the second half as well. Again, there's a hell of a lot of goal to aim for. And it's horrible. It's a horrible, horrible miss from Moutinho, in my opinion, because it's how high and over the bar it's gone.
Especially considering what he did against Arsenal.
Yeah,
as well.
I mean, even regardless of whether he'd done that in the week against Arsenal or not, these are elite footballers that we're talking about, and there's just a hell of a lot of space. In my opinion, it's a very bad miss. Neves, very bad miss. The Traore chance, very good block by Justin. But we, on another day, we could have had 3 or 4, I suppose. But like Dan touched on earlier, whilst it would have been nice to have got the win today, the performance was a lot more important in some aspects. And the fact that we had quite a few clear-cut chances was really promising for me. Really promising. I was really happy to see that we was a lot more solid at the back, but we also coupled that with creating chances as well.
Yeah, and it does kind of put to bed the whole notion of when we play with 5 at the back, we don't create chances, because we just reeled them off there. It could have been 3 easily. And it's been the story of the season when we have been just pissing about. And the Neves one is the worst one out of all of them for me, just because of we know what he can do, but he doesn't do enough. And it's something he really has to work on, because other than that, I thought he was superb today.
Mm. Yeah. But him and Moutinho were superb in that midfield today.
Yeah.
completely squashed any sort of talk that these two can't do it. I mean, as I said earlier, Styles Mike fighting in formations and that sort of thing. But Leicester have got a really top midfield, Tielemans, Maddison. Obviously, they were missing Ndidi today, which may have had more of an impact on Neves and Martino controlling the game. But I thought them two were brilliant today.
I think that's the best those two have played together probably since our first season in the Premier League.
You've just mentioned like they both had three good opportunities between the two of them today. Maybe mm-hmm. more. They haven't been getting up that high in the field all season to even have the shots. So it shows how well we've played today and created chances. I know like we didn't hit the target apart from Fabio's only shot that hit the target today.
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, we've got in the right areas, just a bit being clinical, but I think we've suffered that problem all season, haven't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you had Ndonka's customary header over the bar as well, which is
always he's there. A defender. That's what he does. Just get rid.
He does, to be fair, he does play better when he's further back, though, doesn't he? Because he did all right today.
I thought he had a good game today. And I mean, he had a run of probably, was it, I'm sure it's Joe now, 6, 7, or 8 games, was it last season where he played at the back? Where we went, Bennett, Cody, Soyuz. Not Bennett, Cody, Soyuz. Bloody Ndonka, Cody, and Soyuz. Right, and Bennett, where's that come from?
Living in England.
But he... All right, scrap that. Ndonka played a couple of games at the back last season. And I thought he played really well. I thought he was probably the best defender when in those games. I thought he played really well. He was solid, calm. He can bring the ball out the back. He can play from the back. He's got good physicality, strong in the tackle, good in the air. To be fair, what attributes hasn't he got for a defender?
Well, this is what
you... Penn said.
Yeah. this is why you were on the show last year, because you're wrong. Because
no way.
He started off really well, but it got to the stage where we were all kind of, oh, can we please play proper players there now? But how he played today, he has. I mean, it has been over a year since he played there consistently. So it's one of them things where he's got better as a player anyway. So, and positioning was one of his big problems. He didn't get done today, not once.
Well, how's about this, right? You can sit there and you can say I'm wrong until you're blue in the face. But I know for a fact I am wrong because as a centre back, Ndonka pisses all over Max Kilman.
Yes.
Nagu,
with your chest, Luke. Say it, lad.
It's all gone quiet over there.
I want to know where this beef's come from our Lord and Savior Max Kilman. Because I can't see. I'm not sure what he's doing. I'm not sure. What did he do wrong today? Tell us, Luke. The floor is yours.
He misjudged the one flight of the ball where it was basic. Everyone slates Nelson Semedo for misjudging the flight of the ball. Max Kilman doing it today. And if it wasn't for Vardy being rusty, that would have been a goal. There was one time in the lead up to where Vardy missed the header, Rui comes out to get a clean catch, Kilman gets in the way, he's a fraud. He's a futsal fraud. And in the summer, if he's still in our squad, I want Fosun gone because he's not the man to get us into the top six. Loan him out to flipping Grasshopper Zurich. Get rid of him.
You know that Wes Morgan won the Premier League? This is what give this 3
Jimmy,
years.
What's his name? Jimmy Traore won the Champions League. It happens. We are not going to win anything with him in our centre defence, in a back five, in a back 11. Fuck him off.
Until Semedo has come through the futsal system, Kilman will always be better.
Kilman was probably 8 out of 10 today.
The championship defender.
No.
At best.
No chance.
He can't pass. He's got the same passing range as Courtney House.
Nah, that harsh on Courtney House, Ali.
Yeah, it is. That's because he plays for the Villa.
So are you two telling me that this futsal's counted for nothing whatsoever? And being bought
apart from having a topic to talk for the commentators to talk with, it's pointless. He's got the basic fundamentals to be a half decent defender, but that's it—a half decent defender. Yeah. If we're going to push top six, he's got to go in the summer.
100%.
I've actually got a question in on the Twitter corner from about Max Kilman. Stu might probably answer this one. William Lloyd has asked, does Max Kilman use his real name on PlayStation Plus?
Well, as we've already alluded to, I think this is the problem. If Max Kilman could actually smile, then everyone would love him like we do. This is them being superficial again and not giving him a chance.
Just he doesn't smile because he knows he's stealing a living.
Yeah, but if he was, then surely he'd be laughing all
the way through the... He feels too guilty, mate. Because
by the way, dear listeners, we've already established off air that if Max Kilman smiles, a bus will explode somewhere. So he's not allowed to smile whatsoever. I want to get on to a player duel in the match that I found quite interesting. Adama versus James Justin. Because first half, I wasn't sure that Adama was... Well, let's face it, I think Justin had his card marked, didn't he, the first half. I didn't see Adama getting past Justin much. But second half, I did feel that change. And I did feel that Adama was getting into the game quite a lot more, actually. And I've got a couple of questions on this, but first off, I wanted to just get your guys' opinion on how you saw that duel going between Justin and Adama.
I thought it was great. I mean, you look at what he did at Brighton to the poor guy, and he ended up being took off, poor Dan Byrne, and when he had him all game long. But from this one, I really enjoyed it because it's the first time that we've seen him up against someone who matched him from the off. Normally, he just speeds past them and then puts it out for a goal kick. But this time, when he was getting past them, he had to actually concentrate. And the balls that he got in the box, they still weren't great, but there was less waste because he had to be pinpoint, because in that first half, he didn't have much chance. I think second half, when we used to bring him on 60 minutes and when everyone else was tired, and he just ripped him to shreds two or three times, and they went to the Spurs way of dealing with him and tactical failing him and everyone taking a go. But I thought how he grew into the game against a player like that, I thought he was great today.
You've got to take your hats off to Leicester City. Their recruitment on him, poaching him from the Kevin Fowley right back academy, Luton Town, absolute shrewd signing that is. He's got to be borderline getting on the England squad now, James Justin has. Yeah. He does everything solid. He's created going forward. He's got pace to burn. Absolute solid signing that is for Leicester. I thought, as we all said, Adama definitely grew into the game. He's got a new trick. Did you notice that today? That little right foot over the top and then the back over with the same leg. He's learnt a new trick.
He's learned that from futsal.
He got the beat on Justin a few times. Final ball was a bit off, but I still think it showed in the first half. William Jose is a bit off the pace at the moment. I think he doesn't seem to be getting in the right areas when we are getting balls. Veneto beat Pereira twice and put two decent balls across the box and he was nowhere near it. That'll come with time, obviously. But going back to Adama versus James Justin, it was a good duel. I thought Adama was hustled ahead of two fouls. But I think the majority of the game, it was a good duel to watch.
Can we also have a mention for Neto making Pereira look like Peter Griffin today?
I was going to mention him in a minute, but I've got a question in. In fact, Ian Robbery has sent in two questions about Adama, so obviously piqued his interest today. He says, does the Fancast team pass it at Adama, A, five times a game, B, 10 times a game, or C, not at all?
There was a few today where it was like flashbacks to Robbie Keane when when he was just a selfish child and he was doing too much. There was two distinct times when just a little through ball and we would have had a decent chance and he just took... I think it's another reason why he's at Wolves still, and because he's still not... I'm not going to say he's not intelligent because we know what happens when you do that. But he is too selfish. He just is.
That's just how some players are, and I don't think you're going to change him, if I'm being honest. And as frustrating as it is at times, you've just got to accept it. And then it'll come to a point where the people who do slag him off will end up selling him. They'll be happy. He will excel elsewhere. And then they'll just moan that we've got nobody who can beat a man or show a turn of pace, because that's what Wolves fans are like. And like Stu said, if he could find a through ball, or he always found the perfect pass, he'd play for Barcelona or Real Madrid. This is why he plays for Wolves, because he has his faults. But when he's on his game, he's so exciting to watch, and he's unplayable, and that's just a fact.
Is it decision making at his fault, or does he have a lack of faith in the players around him? Because he's definitely got no sort of relationship with Semedo.
You got to look at times. I was watching it against Palace. There's so many times Traore had the ball, and there was no option for him. Literally no option, no movement. Now that's not Traore's fault. If you've got the ball, somebody's got to show for you, haven't they? Otherwise, you've got to go on your own. And with his crossing, I do find a lot of the time there's no one in the box anyway.
No.
So that's why he delays. Sometimes that's why he delays.
Then by that point, he has two markers come over to him, by that point.
At times, don't get me wrong, Traore has his faults. I'm not trying to fucking blow him off in any way, shape or form. I understand that he has his faults. But other people, they've still got to do more off the ball for him when he's got it.
Well, there's about this then. So, Dan, to your point, Amos Balls has tweeted us to say, should we put Adama and Semedo on different sides of the pitch? I prefer to have a ball-carrying speed merchant on either side. And I don't think they mesh well in either direction. I thought Semedo was the same on the left, but now he seems to be avoiding doing that at all costs. So, does it work? Can we operate with them both on the same side of the pitch? Is that going to be a problem for us?
I don't think so, personally. I don't. They need to wrap. I said this in the post-match reaction video on our YouTube. Check it out. Them two need to build a relationship quickly, because if they don't, one of them needs to be dropped. And I don't think Adama is the one that needs to be dropped.
Okay.
I think.
But can they not work together on like overlapping or something?
I don't think Semedo or Hover can do that left wing back position like Johnny can. So it's not really an option for me yet. Hover needs to push Semedo for that right wing back spot.
I think we just need to kind of accept that the Doherty situation was a fluke. And you're not gonna recreate that. Other than going and getting him back, you're not gonna get anyone to partner with Traore like he did. It's just not gonna happen. Just because they were on a wavelength together, playing all the time, because he didn't that first season that much. So
I said to my friends earlier, I'm massively frustrated for myself because I'm usually right, but I'm massively underrated Doherty. It's unbelievable the levels. I underrated that man.
Told you all.
But for what though? His overall play or his goal threat? Or both?
Overall.
If Doherty was that good, why ain't he doing it at Tottenham?
Formation.
Because he's playing the back four.
But if you're a professional footballer.
No, Luke, this is the reason why people rate Messi, because he's a system player.
No, if Doherty is a system player, shouldn't he know himself that he's a system player?
Yeah, but you've got to back yourself, haven't you? Yeah.
So he's backed himself and he said, you know what? I am good enough to play in a back four. He's played in a back four. Has he been good enough?
He's nowhere near. But it's the same thing.
Said he was a fluke.
Shush.
Doherty could play in a back four for Bayern and he would look shit.
But Premier League seasons for Wolves. He had two good seasons in a formation which suits the way that we and he plays.
Yeah.
Hey, was that sometimes, a fluke?
If Doherty comes back next season, right, I would put money, good money on that he wouldn't score more than five goals.
Did he score more than
you
five
bet
anyway?
On flipping Danny Batt would play for England? You ain't betting on anything, mate. You're not allowed. You're barred.
It comes back to the same old thing that we've said before, that sometimes it just works at certain clubs for certain players.
Yeah,
in a five for Wolves, Doherty worked. In a four for Spurs, in a five for Spurs, it wouldn't work because they've got the players in front of them. And I think that's what we're finding now with if it's Semedo, if it's Hoover, whoever is playing behind Traore, you're just going to have to say that you're a wing back who doesn't go on the wing because you got him in front of you.
When Podence is talking about Doherty, to be fair,
it shows how good he was. that we're still talking about him, and it's 2021, and he's been gone for God knows how long. But I think we are just going to have to accept when Traore plays, the wing back on that side stops at the halfway line and overlaps sometimes just to give support and to take players out of the running, because that's what he's been doing. He hasn't been passing to him, but he has been creating space for Traore to run into and taking one of the markers off him, which kind of goes a bit unnoticed.
Well, with Traore, for me, I wouldn't want the fullback overlapping, because you know what he's going to do. He's going to try and hit the byline. Yeah. Wouldn't the fullback be better off running inside?
Yeah, but Adama's got that new trick now, I've told you, so now he can cut in. He's learned how to use L1 and the pad.
Has he got up to 3-star skills now?
Yeah.
Well, talking of tricks, I mean, the chance that we mentioned earlier, Neves, Traore and Moutinho, they was all made by one guy and one guy only, and that was Pedro Neto. I think he stood out again today, and he was called out on the Sky comms. And you see him quite a few times. The fact that Johnny Evans or Ricardo, the best Portuguese right back in the Premier League, apparently, he's doing them all ends up time and time again. I want us to take a few minutes. Let's just blow some smoke up Pedro Neto's arse and let's have a chat about how good he was, not just today, but then just in general. What were your thoughts on his performance today?
I just want to get in quickly before anyone, because I know how people love to bring up how, oh, you said that about Danny Bath. You said this about Danny Bath. Just remember who mentioned about Pedro Neto before any else of you fuckers on this podcast was even singing his praises. Who was the one who put his neck on the line and said, Pedro Neto will contribute more goals than Jota did last season? Me. Who was the one who said, Pedro Neto will have a better career than Jota? Me. And I know it's still early days, but I'm the one who called that. And it's going to come true. That boy is special.
Is that in writing in the group chat?
It will be somewhere. And we'll have it in audio. And if I have to, I'll go back and I'll find him.
For audio listeners, he is dressed as the Emperor from Star Wars, like David Moyes was on Saturday, by the way, while he is saying this tirade against us all. But on Neto, there's a reason why Jota was sold, because Neto is here and Neto is brilliant. And if we've probably got 18 months at best of him here, if he carries on the way he is, because he's absolutely superb.
6 months.
Boy, I mean, the rumours are kicking up, you know, about the big dogs sniffing around him.
But he signed a 5-year deal only about 6 months ago, I think. So if anyone wants him, top dollar, I want no less than £65 million.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
5 years left on the deal, 20 years old, doing what he's doing, £65 million, no less.
So Sam Marshall's tweeted in saying, is Pedro Neto the best thing since sliced bread? It's probably the best thing since the 50-50 King's Mill bread, for sure. But I want to know that if someone comes in for either Neto or Adama in the window, who's going for the high value?
Not Neto, all day long. I think Traore, I think we had 4 months of Traore going for around about £60 million. When he was absolutely on top of his game. And I think Neto is just head and shoulders above everyone now in the whole league. I mean, Foden and his shaved eyebrows aside, I think Neto is just... If Foden didn't exist, he'd win Young Player of the Year. Easy.
You think? That's a shout, that is.
Why wouldn't he? You look at all the... I mean, what is the categories for that? Under 21?
He goes up to about 24.
No. That's the Football Writers 1E, not the PFA one, or is it the other way around?
I don't know. But
well, if he was under 21, he'd win anyway. There we are.
It's who else have we got? We're Foden. What about Mason Greenwood? I like Greenwood, I do.
He's Peter since he got caught in Iceland, in the frozen food section. With his hand in the turkeys.
How old's Mount? He's probably going to be a rival. But I can't remember how old Mason Mount is.
It's it ain't a bold shout, honestly. I've just had a good 20 seconds of just pondering in there. And if it wasn't for Foden, he'd have to be up there, genuinely.
I mean, to be fair, you look at all the stats and everything. The stats all go in Neto's favour, don't they?
And he's got good goal contributions this season, goals and assists. He's got to be like touching nearly 10 now.
Yeah. And then if you're going to go deeper into that, which the statisticians amongst us will do, there's all the chance creation, malarkey and XG shit that like Stu and Andy will get into. He's at the top of that, no doubt. You know, we're not a one-man team. Obviously, I'm not going to try and pitch it at that. But I think if we were to lose him to suspension or injury and whatever, that'll blow a massive hole in our team.
What about
Top player. Top player, Bukayo Saka. Bakary Sako's cousin.
Yeah, I mean, it's mad that we've got a player who we can even throw into this discussion.
I mean, theoretically, we've got 15 games left? How many games got left now? Let's call it 15. Theoretically, Fabio Silva could still hit 30 this season.
That's the show.
I think Fabio Silva having 30 shots is more outlandish shout than that.
How surprised were you three at how much game time he was given today?
Not at all.
An hour seemed a bit extravagant for me.
I thought Jose did fuck all today, to be honest. He dropped back a couple of times. There was no off the ball. If it was the other way around and Silva had done as little work as William Jose did today, everyone would be up in arms. I think he was really poor. But let's be fair, he's come from Spain. Look how long it took Raul to adjust to English football. How long it took other... I know that wasn't Spain, but point still stands. How long
it takes
some
players...
But you
know the other reason why he didn't do much tracking back? Did Johnny Evans nearly decapitated him?
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, actually. I bet talking about Jose in general, but also should Evans have walked for that? Because you watched in slow motion. Yeah, both of their boots go up, but he has raked down the shin there, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think...
William Jose has brought the ball down like Bergkamp, and Johnny Evans has tried to stab the ball away and completely misjudged it. He's hit him at knee level. It's a red. I don't understand how it hasn't gone to VAR. I'm not being biased because I've got Johnny Evans in my dream team and I don't need that. But it's a red.
It's not a red because he was a genuine attempt to play the ball and it was just high foot. That's what he's been done for. You ain't
so
getting.
What's the difference between flipping what Milivojevic did to Moutinho then?
Because that was silly. That was way out of control.
Just misjudged.
That
was an ankle break.
There's a reason why no one's talked about it, because he's still a red card.
You're a Leicester fan. Albion fan.
I think Johnny Evans was lucky to still be on the pitch for his little pull later on as well. But yeah, that's a different story altogether. But it was fair.
I think that, going back to your question, Dan, as well, I was a bit shocked that Silva come on the hour mark. It was roughly about the hour mark, wasn't it, that he'd come on. But to be fair, as we have said, William Jose did the square root of fuck all, really. He didn't really... Whether that's because he didn't have much creative for him or not, or because he wasn't getting in the positions, that's up for debate. But anonymous.
That's it. Just throw him under the bus then. He's fucking shit. We're here to make
the calls.
You can't win with you, like, you fickle bastards.
But no, he didn't have massive amounts to do, to be honest. We've got to call it as you see. But so yeah, overall, what do we think then? Is that, Stu, do you think that 0-0 was progress? 2 unbeaten now?
Massive progress. I mean, we kind of joking about it, but disappointed not to win it, really, because of the chances that we had. And to be saying that a week ago would have been fucking insane. So you've got to be more than overjoyed, really. Circumstances.
Someone has said to you after Crystal Palace, we get 4 points from Arsenal and Leicester, you'd have bit your hand off, wouldn't you?
Of course. I'd have bit their hands off at one at that point.
Yeah. Did you say beaten with my hands off then? Is that what you said?
Beat your own. Yeah, did I?
Well, it was
massively
good, but it was that good.
Busted after getting 4 points after Palace.
Luke, what was your closing thoughts on the game?
Good, solid 7 out of 10 performance. I think we can rightly feel slightly disappointed that we didn't walk away with all 3 points, because we did have the better chances in a pretty even game. But it's just what the doctor ordered. It's what we needed. We needed a good performance against a good team to show that we still can perform at this level, because it was getting worrying.
Yeah.
Dan, what's your closing thoughts on the game then?
Pretty much what we all said. Solid points. Probably could have nicked it. Clean sheet, massive. Just building confidence now. Southampton seem to be in a bit of a troubled spot. Two big games against them coming up. Come on, let's go through. Let's get our season back on track.
Right, on that note, we'll just call it a break there. And we'll be back shortly just to discuss, have a little wider point about Wolves as a club versus Leicester. So we'll be back in just a jiffy.
Hi everyone, Matt from Wolves Fancast here. If you're anything like me, time is of the essence these days. How am I meant to take training with my wonder kids on the managerial football simulation game that I'm not allowed to mention for legal reasons if I'm too busy worrying about my online media presence? Well, that's where our friends at pixelyetimedia.com come in. They're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all of your design needs from websites, brochures and signage to marketing, logo design and branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. They'll get you set up quicker than Adama Traore running at a terrified left back. Speaking of which, who's got my baby oil?
Right, welcome back to the Fancast. Just before we move on from talking about Leicester in full, I just wanted to get a roundtable view on how do we actually see Leicester, and the fact that I'm keen to know, is that a team that we should be looking to emulate really? And Leicester have obviously had a great deal of progress in the Premier League since they stayed up, then won the title, and they've had regular European campaigns. So Stu, is this a team blueprint that we should be looking to copy in some way?
Absolutely. They've done it in reverse in a way. And when they were winning the league obviously helped them. But they could have just fell away into oblivion like Blackburn did in the 90s and like Keegan's Newcastle almost did it in the 90s and then they fell away. And there's plenty of teams who've almost got there and then fell away again. But with Leicester, they won it, dropped off, and then they've kind of built again. And a lot of they said in commentary, they've spent 100 million quid on a new training base. It looks amazing from the renders and everything. So
yeah,
the size of the clubs are very similar. The players on their day are very similar. Are you going to say the fan bases are similar as well? I mean, this is obviously their most successful period in the whole history, whereas we have history. And that's really the only difference between the two, if you kind of put them one for one. So, but from what they've done in the Premier League era, absolutely. We have to. It used to be Southampton. They used to be the go-to, and then they started selling too many players, and then they went shit. But with Leicester, they've done it the right way. They've sold their players, they've moved them on, and then they've bought players through. And like we did with some money, Jota and Doherty money was reinvested in Semedo and Silva, which is obviously not the best idea, as it turns out. But that kind of model, they have to be looked at for someone to copy. Have to.
So what do we think of their their reasons for continued success? And then what players, if any, would you take from their team sticking to ours?
I think you've just got to look at their recruitment the last maybe how many years ago was it since they won the league? Six now.
Well, that long ago.
Even before that, you look at the lots of players that they've had come through, Kante for pennies, Mahrez for pennies. They've recently brought the likes of Tielemans, Soyuncu. They've recruited really, really well in recent years. We've already mentioned James Justin. And I still think we missed a trick not getting James Maddison in that January transfer window when we're on the verge of promotion, maybe, or in that summer, because he's just another attacking number 10 who I think most teams in the top half would benefit from. I don't really know how you can pinpoint one complete difference between the club, apart from they've just had things go their way, whereas maybe we've come a bit unstuck in big games like the Sevilla game and Watford, that maybe they've just had a bit more momentum after winning the Premier League, where we haven't had that.
I mean, Luke, they've not really stuck to a philosophy with one manager, have they? I mean, since they won the league and Ranieri, they went through Puel, now they're on Rodgers. I mean, they can't really say they've stuck to any sort of blueprint with the manager as such, but I don't know, what do you reckon? What do you think the reasons are, and who would you take from Leicester, or who would you take off them to put in their starting 11?
I just think they've got their recruitment absolutely nailed on pretty much every window. I remember speaking to Leicester fans at the beginning of the season, just before we played them in beginning of November, and I feel like we're very, very similar in terms of stature as a club, and we should be targeting that sort of level of club, like your Leicesters, your Evertons, maybe even West Ham, Southampton in there, as sort of our marker for the season. I think we're quite close to Leicester in the league when we played them last time, and since then they've kicked on and we've gone backwards. You look at the players they bring in, absolutely fantastic. I mean, me personally, I'd take Ndidi, I'd take Tielemans, I'd take Maddison, I'd take Vardy, I'd take Justin, I'd take Schmeichel.
Fofana.
Yeah, Fofana, I'd take him as well. Do you know what? I'd probably even take Johnny Evans. They've got and one player that I know, I'm sure Dan rates, but I've not really seen him. Is it Castagna?
Yeah.
Again, I mean, I'll trust the word of Dan. If Dan says he's a good player, then in my opinion, he's a good player.
You look at their back five, apart from Willy Bolly, I'd swap our defences every day of the week.
So I think when you just look at their recruitment and they've evolved, like they've sold players, but they've evolved really well. They've changed managers and they've evolved really well. Whereas I don't think we've nailed it on the recruitment side. We've had the money, but I think we've wasted a hell of a lot of money as well. And I think it could have been better placed elsewhere. So it's frustrating, really, because we should be up there with them, all truth be told. Like Stu said, you go one for one, fan base, stadium, training. Right, the training facility might be a bit better now. Squad man for man, there's not a massive amount in it. Even though I've just reeled off about eight
even though you take their entire team, yeah. Pretty much.
But it's so frustrating to see them sort of, they're consistently in the top six now. And you know what? Fair play to them. And I hate praising other teams. I hate it. But fair play to them. But that's what we should have been taking that step. 2 7 place finishes. We should have been taking that step with Leicester. And we haven't, and we've fucked it up. And now we've gone back a year. And to round my point off, I'm going to say where they've got it right and we've got it wrong, recruitment.
We'll talk about recruitment. Paul Nichols tweeted in to say on that point, in the summer, should we be going out all out for a Danny Ings or of that type? And he feels that a lack of goals is killing us and the ambition costs. We've got Jose lined up, haven't we, for the summer deal? But is he actually going to stick around and be the answer?
As we've said before, the amount of chances that we create normally doesn't kind of correlate with players missing them. If you see what I mean, because I mean today we create shitloads compared to what we normally do. And normally my own here all season's been, well, we don't create anything, whereas today we did. But it. Only one of them landed to a striker. So what's the real issue there? You're not going to have someone like Danny Ings. Won't work. I mean, Raul's a freak. He's what he is, and it's another one where he's landed at Wolves, and it works for everyone. He's perfect for us. We're perfect for him. He fits the system. Everyone's happy, but it shows what a problem we have when he's not there. And you ain't gonna unless you can find an absolute clone for him and the way he does things and what. William Jose looked like he was going to do. I mean, today's obviously an off day, but that's the problem. You ain't going to just get, oh, let's get a striker and it'll be fine then. No, it won't, because we play a certain way.
We need goals from... We can't just rely on a striker for our goals.
Yeah, you need it everywhere.
The fielders have got to chip in with goals. The wide players have got to chip in goals. All right, fair play, Neto and Pedence. Yeah, I can't knock them for their goal contributions. As much as I always find defend Traore, right, it gets harder week by week. The fact of the matter is, he's got to do more in terms of goal contributions. The same for Neves, same for Moutinho, same for Dendonka. And that is what, in my opinion, is holding us back.
Yeah.
And that's why we didn't finish sixth, last season because we didn't score enough goals. And that's why we didn't win enough matches in the end.
Well, we talked about Danny Ings there, so let's move on to the team that he plays for, because on Thursday, the 11th, we are back in FA Cup action. We're going to be up for the Cup. We are got our game against Southampton. And to me, gents, Southampton look a bit vulnerable at the moment. Hasenhüttl, he took his second 9-0 pumping of his Saints career against Man United, followed that up by losing 3-2 to Newcastle. He couldn't break 10-man Newcastle down. Is this our moment against Southampton in the Cup? They haven't got Chris Marsden this time. So, Dan, what are we thinking? How would you approach this one? In regards to team changes, and do you think we can get past them? Do you think we can beat them?
Problem really tough dilemma for Nuno. I don't envy him picking this team on Thursday, because I think we all agree he needs to prioritise the FA Cup this season. We've all said, I think anything below 15th and you go out in this round is a disaster of a season, really. I wouldn't begrudge him for going to a back four against these, because I think they are in a bit of a rut and they've definitely got a few players out still injured, haven't they? I mean,
yeah.
You just know flipping Bednarak's going to play like Beckenbauer on Thursday because of the two games that he's had. Yeah. But it's a tough one for him. Me personally, I'd stick with how we play today, same 11, unless you can bring maybe someone in for Kilman.
Clean sheet. Get him out.
Well, I mean, the it's a fact that it's right in saying that the Cup is going to be our saviour this season. We're only just getting back to basics, quote unquote, as it were. Cup games can be, you know, a different beast. So, what do you reckon, Stu? Is this the right time to then switch up this formation again? Be a bit more cavalier in the Cup?
I don't want to go back. Like I said earlier, I don't want to see a back four all season long again. Just keep it as is. I mean, we had a back five and look at the chances we created today. And we look more solid. So if we can still create chances against a decent team like Leicester and not a complete shambles like Southampton, then just keep it as it is. We've played this well today. Don't throw it away and mixing it up. We've got two games against the same opposition home and away within a week. Just go and do the same thing twice. Don't piss about with bringing Gibbs White in anywhere near the team. Don't be lured into a false sense of security doing that. Rui has a week off. We all know that. But other than that, that's what my only change would be after today. I mean, maybe Vitinha for Neves, maybe just for a kind of just to give him a freshen. But I wouldn't change
still, that still strikes me as weird, you know, especially if I was Patricio. I wouldn't want to be dropped for the FA Cup games. I'd still want to play. What do you reckon, Luke? Because I mean, I know in his first full season here, he had to watch us get to the semi-final and have Ruddy have a day out of Wembley. Whereas if I'm Patricio, I'm like, well, hang on a minute, I'm your number one. I don't need resting. So if Nuno does have any team changes, would you agree with him putting the quote-unquote cup keeper back in?
It's a difficult one because, like you, if I was that keeper, I'd want to be playing every single week.
Yeah.
And I don't think keepers can really moan about fatigue. But it is what it is. There's probably an agreement in place where, you know, your number two plays in the cup. So, yeah, I'll play Ruddy in the cup probably until the quarter final. So I'll give him this game. Then if we progress, I'll go back to Rui and goal. In terms of team and shape, didn't we play four at the back against them at home in the league?
And absolutely battered them.
We did, didn't we? I thought we did.
Alex McCarthy had the game of his life that night.
They're not going to change their shape. But then without Bolly, imagine he went Cody and fucking Kilman at the back and went for a four. I think because of injuries, we probably will have to get to five at the back. But I wouldn't make too many changes.
He's got to prioritise the club, so he's got to play his strongest team.
He has. We've got, in my opinion, we've got a. If we're going to finish this season 15th, 16th, he needs to get us to the semis at least.
Listen, bear in mind we're playing them again 3 days after as well, so just look too much into it, just keep it as it is, and just like you say. He's got to prioritise it.
He has. I don't think he can go for a four without Bolly.
No, we haven't got the players to do it.
No.
Well, Clary Garflip in Dendonker and Kilman.
Because Kilman's shit.
Yeah, but...
not shit.
But it's the cup, eh? Just let Kilman have a cup run and then fuck him off.
Yeah, and imagine if he lets one fly over his head again.
Sais was on the bench today. I'm flipping Dendonker, Sais, centre-backs.
You could do. To be fair, I'd probably feel a lot more confident with that.
The other thing I pondered earlier was you could have Dendonker, left centre-back, Sais centre-back, and then Cody the right of the three.
We tried that against... Who did we try that against?
Man United, and it worked well. Well, but Kilman was in, obviously, instead of Dendonker.
Yeah, and he played well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and to let flipping Rashford flipping Borger over his head and spanning his leg. Well, no, but you all forget about that, don't you? Because he played futsal and flipping Megs the ref once.
I mean, for me, I mean, Southampton, they're there for the picking. I mean, they were like media darlings at one point, and like Hasenhüttl was enjoying a bit of a positive rep. But I mean, I know it's the cup, but we are playing them like pretty much soon after, like 3 days after the cup game. But they're only 2 points ahead of us in the league. You know, a win today against Leicester would have took us above them. So, are they actually all as good as they're cracked up to be? And we know that Ings is obviously their main goal threat, and in you know he's quite deadly. But other than that, where's the threats coming from? Ward-Prowse, perhaps?
I think
that was a corker of a free kick he scored yesterday.
Yeah,
that's the problem with them. You just as long as you don't give silly free kicks away around the box, then they're kind of blunt. And I do think if it wasn't for the fact that Jordan has got a naked Ralph Hasenhüttl calendar on his wall, that we wouldn't be talking about Southampton all the time. It's only because he's always on about him every week and how good Hasenhüttl is. I don't think it'd be a problem. I don't think we talk about him because everyone's all, oh, he's a wonderful manager. But like you said, they're not that far away from us. And if they were as great as everyone makes out and how shit we've been this season, they'd be pushing Leicester and everyone else in the top four. But they're just...
I've got a question then. If Nuno had been pumped 9-0 two seasons running, would you want him out? because that's what's happened to Hasenhüttl. There's a lot of H's in there. Has happened to Hasenhüttl, but it has. And you know,
you're not allowed to even think about wanting Nuno out. So please just stop it there. Don't fancy my address being tracked down by some internet nerd who locates my IP address and burns an effigy of me outside my fucking front door.
On the Saturday that we got beat by the Albion, I'd have sacked Nuno that day and then I'd have appointed him back the next day.
New manager bounce straight away.
Press conference the lot.
My point being towards Hasenhüttl, you know, it's very rare you get someone who survives like 2-9-0 shellackings, you know. It's because just having one is bad enough, but he's had two now. I'm just thinking, like, is he all? I don't want this to be famous last words, but is he all as cracked up to be? And is Southampton all as cracked up to be?
I think it's purely the reaction after the first 9-0, which has earned him a lot of grace.
Yeah.
They went on a serious one, didn't they? After that first 9-0, and obviously they've come a bit unstuck recently with injuries, but I think it's just showing again how topsy-turvy this league is, that it's become pretty much like the Championship at the moment. You win two or three on the bench and you're back up there. You lose two or three, you're looking over your shoulder.
They've lost five on the spin in the league. I never realised it was that bad for them.
Yeah, and they'll say that they've had 11 injuries, but everyone's had injuries. And we're
one in 10.
It's one of them things with them. If they were Burnley... So if they were a Northern team and they were going through the run that they'd be going through, people would be calling for his head just because that's how things are. But he's media darling from the South Coast. It's the same thing as usual. It's just I don't get him. I just don't
he
get it.
Cried when they beat Liverpool.
I don't get him at all. He's a decent manager, did a decent job at a decent team in a decent position in the league. Nothing special about him.
Nothing to see here, move along.
Yeah.
What, right, so well, let's... Now you've said there's nothing special about them. What if they beat us twice in the next week?
Oh, well, that's just part of the course, eh?
Sack Nuno on the Sunday, and then we appoint him again on the Monday.
Southampton bringing Chris Marsden back.
And Kevin Phillips.
I'll queued up all night for that in the old North Bank. It's freezing as well. So that could
do you remember the goal they scored against us to that, in that cup? In that cup
such
tie?
A flimsy shit. Finish, wasn't it? It was like it was frying panned into the net.
I was gutted because Southampton weren't a big name then. And I know they're a Premier League team, but like we could have gone out to some much bigger teams then. And in the end, we've gone out to fucking Southampton. Look at the shit goals they've scored as well.
Yeah, we beat Newcastle, didn't we, at the Molyneux? And I think we beat like Rochdale. It was all open for us to actually get all the way to Wembley again. And then we did nothing against Southampton that day. It was so frustrating.
I was gutted.
It was when I used to buy match day badges as well, and I've still got it. It's still there, haunting me.
A what? A match day badge?
Yeah.
No.
I was 2003, I would have been, what, 20? 19 years older.
19 years old, with a shirt over his jumper.
Did you wear your shirt over your hoodie as well?
He said the other day he used to do it up until he was 25, so he had a good few years in him then.
It wasn't a hoodie. It was a black turtleneck jumper.
Under Armour wasn't invented then.
No,
it was a turtleneck jumper. Wolf's top with 69 pleasant dime on the back.
Yeah, Pleasure Dome actually sits quite close to me in the steeple up. It's at J5.
Yeah, it's a segregated area for special people.
But it was an official Wolves polo neck, turtleneck. It had WWFC embroidered in it in the neckline. Really, really
even worse. You could have got one of them for £8 from Primark, and Wolves would probably charge you about £37 for that.
Primark days is then, that's how old we are.
Oh, yeah.
Might have been CNA.
Welcome. Wait until flipping Castore come in with the £90 jumpers.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right, I want some predictions from you before we round off this section. Stu, what's your prediction? Are we going to be in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup?
We better be. But yeah, 2-0.
Like it. Lukey boy, what are you saying?
I'm going to say 2-0.
Like it, it's positivity. Dan, passion. Go on, hit us with your pessimism, Dan. Go for it.
We're going to stink the place out, 0-0. And we're going to win on penalties with Ruddy being the hero.
What, is he taking money? One?
Yep. 8-7, we win on penalties.
I expect Ruddy will give us a proper, like, Pressman-esque penalty as well. Ain't going to, like...
I think he's off for a panicker.
Kilman's going to miss a penalty, but Ruddy's going to save the winning one.
And at that point, we'll see Kilman smile, and then somewhere a bus will explode. Right, lads, in order to finish off, I'm going to cast my attention to Twitter Corner. And a friend of the show, Dean Marsden, has tweeted in to say, if you could bring one player back in from their prime into this team, would you pick Lesker, Olafinyana or Keane? I know who Dan's going to say straight away.
Go on then. Preempt me then. What am I going to say?
You're going to say Les Scott to replace Kilman because you think Kilman's a bag of bollocks?
Well, you're wrong because I'd have Robbie Keane because he's the best forward that Wolves have ever had. Sick of Steve Ball. Sick of him. Robbie Keane's the best forward we've ever had. And if anyone wants to discuss it with me, I'll be in the Asda car park on Wednesday night at 9 p.m. Don't know. I'm not saying which part of the car park, but I'll be there.
All with Asda.
Dean did say that he was avoiding Bully to make it a contest, but there you go. Dan's gone for Keane. Stu, who's going in?
I thought Oliver Jordan was massively underrated for his time here, to be fair. I mean, he's him or big Alfred and Dye, someone we need in the mix at the minute.
He was such a pleasant man to be play the midfield enforcer role.
Yeah, exactly. But in this era of Premier League football, then I'd go for Oliver Yana, yeah.
Dean did also say that imagine a combination of Lescott and Bolly together.
That's not allowed. You can't
go
for hybrids.
That's back four that Nuno should be transitioning to.
Lukey, who's your pick?
I would go for Lescott. I just think he's that classy, ball-playing defender that we need.
You know, I'm going to say something controversial there, but I think Lescott had the same sort of passing range as Courtney House.
It was just so confident and calm on the ball, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was brilliant, just getting the defending right, the basis of defending. But his lofted passes were just so similar to House's, just no power behind him. Just
We could utilise him just to bring it out of defence, nice and calm.
Did you euthanise him then?
And then just play off simply to Neves or a wing back. Lescott would be good for us.
No, we have had a hybrid of Bolly and Lescott before in Dean Richards. That's the real answer.
I thought you were going to say Mikhail Bischoff.
What a player Richards was, though, man.
Oh, what a player. Sensational, isn't he? Absolutely.
That would have been more fitting as well, considering we're playing Southampton.
Exactly.
So what you're saying Dean's missed the trick there. Is that what you're going to say? You're going to lay into Dean now?
Tell him to fuck off next week. We don't want no more with the corner questions off him.
Hashtag Marsden out.
Oh, yeah. I've just got the other link there, of course. Marsden.
Chris Marsden.
There as well. Dean, yeah. Chris Marsden. Right, the last Twitter corner question, I'm going to hand it over to former Fancastian Alex Moore. I've had to Google this. If you, and I hope you know what I'm talking about, or I hope you know what he's talking about. If you had Bernard's watch for a day, what's the first thing you would do?
Too old. No,
I've had to Google what Bernard's watch is because I'm was you aware what? Of this.
Can we just ask Dave? Because Dave loved this program. R.I.P. Dave.
For the YouTube people. Yeah, I've had to Google this.
Was too old.
No idea. Not a clue. So, someone then tell me about this watch. What happens?
He has the ability to stop time.
Okay.
So, basically,
what does he do about it then?
So, sometimes he'd stop the watch because his mom told him while she was going to the shops that if it started raining, to bring the clothes in. So, as soon as that first rain dropped, he could pause it and bring it all in before his mom gets back, before he got into trouble.
All the important things then.
Or he could stop time to make sure he had enough time to do his homework, otherwise he'd be grounded. He wouldn't do anything good with it when he pressed the stopwatch like rob a bank like a normal person would.
And this shit here, it says this went on for 7 series.
Top series, that.
There's a lot of things
doing his own work.
Strong afternoon TV for a child after he returned from school.
Right then, I want to know, Stu, what if it's stopping time, what are you doing? What are you going to do? This could go well, anywhere. what are you doing and who you're doing it to?
So it depends. If stopping time means you stop time of the internet working as well, because that would be a problem for what I was going to suggest.
Oh,
what you're downloading.
Leave the dark web out of this, please, mate.
Silk Road has been shut down, Stu.
In a real answer, if it was possible to watch things, I'd watch all 11 Star Wars films back to back, because the only thing that stops you doing that is time.
Are you for real? You're basically worse than Bernard. You just, right, quick example. You can stop the watch during a Wars match. Anytime the ball's about to go past Rudy, you put him in the way.
Yeah. FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, but is that a guarantee, though? Is that still a guarantee of him saving it?
His percentage save is very low at the moment.
He could save Troy Deeney's penalty in the FA Cup semi-final.
There you go.
Or we could stop the watch and tell Nuno, don't bring off Jota and Neves in this game.
Just disable the numbers on the board so he can't put his numbers up.
Yeah.
Right, Luke.
I can't believe you. She's just a serious level, you am.
Luke, what are you doing? You stop. You've now stopped time. What are you going to do?
Oh, God. I'm going to
watch all Star Wars back to back.
Nah, you know what?
You try doing
you know what I'd
it's
do?
Hard.
I'd stop the watch once Matt Hancock was given a briefing to the nation, and I'd just keg him just to humiliate him.
Peg him?
Fuck him, no. Peg him.
This has gone to a different place.
The bag, whatever you want to call him. Not tea bag, tea bag.
Tea bag him. You're going to tea bag.
You're going to teabag Matt Hancock of all the things you've said about the man.
If Jordan's got a naked shrine to Hassan, we'll know what Leaky Boy's naked shrine saw, don't we?
These pair would stop time and read all the government stuff that they're hiding from us, because them conspiracy theorists, it's ridiculous. They're getting into my head. I'm already convinced I'm never getting out of lockdown, and every day in the WhatsApp, them spreading links, them spreading fear. I can't take it anymore. I'd stop time, and I'd just show them.
These two would stop time, and they'd read through the lab results of the AstraZeneca vaccine so they can be sure. Dan, go on.
I'm either putting Rui in the way, or I'm putting like Fabio Silva in a position where he can't miss.
Brave choices. Right, on that note, lads, we will call it a day there. Thanks ever so much for listening out there. Please do check out our YouTube channel. Also, please do check out the Insta Lives that Luke and Gully are doing. You get to hear plenty more of these shenanigans on the Insta Lives, both before the game, during the game, and now even after the game. So just get on Insta, get Wolves Fancast on Insta, get listening to Gully's GTA as well. He will dissect our games with fancy heat maps and tactical analysis. Other than that, it's goodbye from Stu.
Bye-bye.
It's goodbye from Luke.
See you later.
And it's goodbye from Dan.
Arrivederci.
Adios, guys. Catch you later.